Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
All right, welcome to Bet the Edge. I'm Jay Croucher here with, for the first time in Bet the Edge history, the great Matthew Berry, my friend, one of the, one of the three stars of Fantasy Football Happy Hour. Sure. You can argue about the order there, but Matthew, we're going to talk to you about college basketball today. I know you often take shots at me for talking about basketball on our other show, but we're going to do all basketball here. With your bracket, we're going to start. Can you give everyone some insight into how you go about filling out your bracket, Matthew?
Yeah, no, listen, this is exciting for me. Before we even get there, let's just start here that, like, I'm excited that my debut on Bet the Edge, that suddenly the time that I become part of the Bet the Edge universe, the Bet the Edge cinematic universe, is on a subject in which I am not an expert. I'll be the first to admit that. I like the fact that you think there are only three stars at Fantasy Football Happy Hour. Cut to Lawrence Jackson just chasing, catching strays here on Bet the Edge. I'm in favor of that. Normally, I'm the one who takes shots at Lawrence, but I like that you're just doing it without him to defend himself here. But great. No, happy to be on Bet the Edge. Here's an edge you can bet. Don't listen to what I'm about to say. There you go. There's an edge. My process is to do it very quickly because I don't watch a ton of college basketball, Jay. I want to be very honest about this. I want to be clear. I have a couple of teams that I like, that I root for. Obviously, I went to Syracuse, so I do watch some Syracuse. I grew up in College Station, Texas, so I'll watch some A&M basketball as well. My kid goes to Alabama, so I'll watch some Bama. But honestly, I don't watch a ton. I'm not a fiend like you. I have a life. I spend time with my children, Jay. I'm not like you where I come into work, I talk about betting, and then I go home and open up my phone and my computer and ignore my wife and children in order to continue to watch sports and bet on sports. Some of us are more well-rounded, Jay. Some of us have more of a life. And so that's why I'm sure you have much more detailed analysis than I do. But what I can tell you is all names, the names of all five of my kids. Whereas I think you can name one, maybe two.
Yeah. Listen, to your comment on Lawrence Jackson, Lawrence Jackson's like the Emily Blunt in Oppenheimer character. Sure. Also Oscar nominated, but not as frequently appearing. So that's fair. No, it's a good point as well about your kids and their names. Yesterday I was with my kids, Matthew, but I was kicking the soccer ball with my three-year-old Remy as I was streaming Ligue 1 soccer on my phone, trying to sweat out this bet on Stade Brestois to make the top four. So I like to multitask with getting my futures bets home and loving my children. Let's get to your bracket because it's not great.
My process, though, honestly, is I do it as I go through it. I do it quickly. And then I will say that back in my days at ESPN, I have a friend, I just have to give a shout out. A buddy of mine that I worked with there, who's a researcher there, who is a crazy basketball guy, Kevin Pulsifer. He's on Twitter. I think I'm Pulsativity, but Kevin Pulsifer, you look him up on there on Twitter. He's a researcher at ESPN and he's a crazy college basketball guy. So what I always do is after I do my bracket, I ask Kevin for his, and Kevin always sends me his bracket and then I'll compare the two. And if there's an upset or two that he has, I'll be like, oh, that's interesting. So I do cheat a little bit and I want to give a shout out to my friend Kevin Pulsifer because I do cheat off him.
Yeah, I will say being a man in your position, one of the best things is that you get a network of people who know a lot about subject matters you do not. So it's good to take advantage of that network. Anyway, let's take a look at this bracket. There's three things I want to pick out. One, you have UConn going deep, which that's fine. Two, you have Texas A&M beating Houston, which is very suspect. I know you don't follow college basketball closely, but Houston's very good. And then you have Michigan State going down in round one, which is fine. That's a coin flip against Mississippi State. But you have a strange thing against Michigan State, right?
Well, I hate East Lansing. And that was before that was before Michigan State came out as being pro-Hitler. But, you know, let's be clear about that, right? I have long hated Michigan State. I have long hated East Lansing, Michigan. I won't talk about my one time and only time. I will never go back to East Lansing. But my one time in East Lansing was just an awful experience. This has come up a lot on Fantasy Football Happy Hour.
Running
you bit. Know that I am anti-Michigan State. I am, you know, go blue. And I have friends that went to Michigan State and they're lovely people. I will just say that also, by the way, Michigan State always seems to underperform in the tournament. Magic Johnson isn't walking through that door, give me Mississippi State just because, I'm not picking Michigan State. I'm just not. I'm sorry. Sorry about that, guys. Listen, if Michigan State comes out and very definitively is like, no, we hate Hitler as much as the rest of the world, then maybe I'll consider it. But until, as long as they still have at least some Hitler sympathizers, it's hard for me to support them.
Okay. Well, I like that you've kind of jumped on the bandwagon of the Allied forces in early 1940s to go anti-Hitler with your 2024 college basketball bracket. But no, that's fine. Going against Michigan.
No, but listen, I feel like it's been a tough year for Michigan State basketball. All jokes aside, and I'm not that Hitler's a joke, but all jokes aside, like this is not Tom Izzo's best squad.
No.
I think it's fair to say.
No, it's certainly not. All right, let's talk about Texas A&M, your beloved Aggies. Is this purely a homer pick, or you actually think from what you know that they can make a little bit of a run?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both, right? I mean, so it's definitely a homer pick. I mean, let's be clear. It's a homer pick. But honestly, Texas A&M, two things. I really like Buzz Williams. I'm a Buzz Williams guy. Like, I think he's always, as somebody that watched him for a long time at Marquette, when I was, at Syracuse and when he was coaching Marquette and whatever, Buzz Williams teams are always well prepared, especially in the tournament. They're always a tough out. And, you know, in the SEC, they made a run in the SEC tournament, tough second half against Florida there in the semifinals, but they made a nice run here. It comes down to, what they're really good at, I think, is three-point shooting and, rebounding. And so, listen, those two things are going to be keys against Houston, right? But, like, I think that there's a chance they can make this into a grinded-out game with Houston and sort of, obviously, I think they beat Nebraska, and then they get to Houston. And there's always one crazy upset there as well. Houston is a very good team, but I feel like their style of play is a little susceptible to, if it's just kind of a knockdown, drag-it-out kind of ugly, kind of game. That's how I think A&M beats Houston. It's just kind of with an ugly game. It's a lot of rebounding. It's like a 56-52 kind of game, they knock down enough threes to get them there.
Yep. I think Houston actually lost the game this year, Matthew, 57-53 to Iowa State. So the recipe is there to take them down. And you have UConn winning it all. UConn are the favorite to win it all. So you've really gone out on a limb there. But is there anything that you like about the Huskies?
Yeah. You know what? I'll tell you what I like about the Huskies. My wife went to UConn.
Okay.
And so what I like is spending time with my wife.
Sure.
And so happy wife, happy life, Jay. So, if you could look up from your phone every once in a while, you would realize this and you would talk to your wife and know that, I know she did not. Where did she go to school? Where did your wife go to school?
In Sweden.
Sweden. I remember it was overseas. Yeah. So, right. So my point is that you should pick Sweden in the World Cup to win the World Cup.
Sure.
Next time we do that.
Hmm.
Like, again, happy wife, happy life. So I live in Connecticut, obviously. We do our show in Connecticut. My wife went to UConn. So we are, I'm in UConn country. So I'm more familiar with that program than I am others as well. Unbelievable run. Listen, I think Coach Hurley is fantastic. He's just the right amount of insane as well. I forget the name, but the freshman they have is fantastic. And you know, yeah, I mean, whatever. I'm taking chalk, but I live in UConn. I live in Connecticut. My wife went to UConn. Yeah. Yeah, give me the chalk, by the way. But they're always impressive. UConn always, I feel like, UConn always does well in the tournament. They overperform, and now they actually have the talent to be there as well.
Yep, tough draw for them, but they are the favorites for a reason. All right, last one for you, Matthew, then we'll get you out of here. Do you have any traditions for watching March Madness? Anything, particularly the first round, or just anything you do throughout the tournament?
Yeah, I like to here's what my tradition will be, is I will text you, and I will say, Jay, what are some bets?
Sure.
And then you'll give me some bets, and I will bet on them. Yeah. And then, I'm not going to watch the rest of Bet the Edge. I got to be honest with you. I'm just going to take the shortcut because I have your cell phone. I'm just going to say, Jay, give me some bets. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to watch those bets. And I'm going to celebrate those wins and give you no credit. But if they don't pan out, then I will MF you over text. And I won't do it privately. I'll do it in our group text. With all of our colleagues and friends.
That's the beauty of being a man in my position where people do ask me for advice. And then when the bets win, they just kind of get casually lost or others claim credit. And then when they do lose, there's only one man. There's only one man in that situation that it comes back to. And that's Jay Croucher. All right, Matthew. Yeah. Matthew Barry, thank you very much for hopping on, mate. Really appreciate it. Phenomenal debut for you on Bet the Edge. Appreciate your comments on both my fathering ability and your thoughts on historical dictators. It's been a lot of fun, and we'll chat to you soon.
All right. See you, Jay. Thanks. See you, answer my text when I ask you for bets. Make sure you do that.
Sorry, I forgot.
I'm going to need some actual good picks here.
Very good. All right. See you, mate.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
All right, let's welcome in Robbie Hummel, former Purdue star, now working with the Big Ten Network, among other places. Robbie, thanks for coming on. Keen to get your thoughts on the Midwest region, some Big Ten matchups, and then a Final Four. But let's start off with Purdue, who had something of an inglorious exit last year. And now they're in the Midwest with Tennessee, who is everyone's kind of darling. What did you make of Purdue's draw?
I like it. I think that you know, you talked about Tennessee, and you get to the Elite Eight, you're going to play good teams. So Tennessee is certainly one of those. And Purdue has actually already played Tennessee, beat them down in Maui in a really competitive game back in November. But I think when you're talking about for the ones who were the four fives in your area, you know, Gonzaga as a five was a bit of a surprise, and I think Kansas as the four is a team that. You know, their guards aren't crazy dynamic. Like, DeJuan Harris is a good player. He's a good point guard. But it's not like he's one of those guys that's going to go off and give you 30. Certainly, Zach Edey is very familiar with Hunter Dickinson. And then the health of the Jayhawks is something that's really, I think, in question right now with Kevin McCullough and Dickinson, who has hurt his shoulder, and both those guys missed the Big 12 tournament. So I really like Purdue's road. Certainly, you know, when you're talking about early matchups, Utah State and TCU. Utah State comes from the Mountain West, which is one of the best mid-major conferences in all of America this year. And then TCU battle-tested, really athletic, loves to play in transition. But I don't think that those are two teams that will give Purdue a ton of trouble. Certainly Tennessee is the big one in this region. And you know what? not to discount Creighton, because I've seen Creighton this year. They're a really fun offense. Baylor Shireman is tremendous. Ryan Kalkbrenner is one of the better defensive centers in all of college basketball, but their depth is not great. If Kalkbrenner were to get in foul trouble against Purdue, they would have nobody to throw at him with that type of size. So I anticipate Purdue, Tennessee, but the great part of the tournament is you never know.
You never know. Okay, well, Purdue are +500. They're the second favorite to win it all, behind UConn, tied with Houston. Do you think this team is materially better than the team last year?
Yes. Yes. I think the guard play is night and day from what they had last year. Braden Smith, becoming so effective in pick and roll has given them a different way to attack and a different way to play. He's been phenomenal. He's first team All Big Ten this year. I think he'll probably find himself on some All-American lists in terms of being like an honorable mention type guy. He's had that type of year. Lance Jones has given them kind of that dynamic in transition where he looks to attack. He shoots early threes. He defends. He can get to the rim. He's got some burst. And then Fletcher Lawyer has been a bit inconsistent this year, but he's finished the season strong. And I think the biggest thing is that Braden Smith and Lawyer have become sophomores. You go through that last year, you hit that wall, and certainly that hurt them. But I do think because their guard play is so much better, Purdue is much more equipped to handle the NCAA tournament and make a deep run in this thing.
Okay, well, let's hit on some notable Big Ten matchups in round one. I want to start off with Northwestern, who are +2.5 point dogs against Florida Atlantic. Robbie, Florida Atlantic cost me a lot of money this year. So in the starting Florida department, wouldn't mind Northwestern knocking them out. But what do you think of Northwestern's chances?
You know, if they were healthy, I would feel really good about this, because when they were at their peak, I think back to that overtime game in West Lafayette that they ended up losing, but they scored like 96 points or in that general area. So they could really score. And certainly Boo Booey is the ultimate kind of equalizer in a one game elimination tournament like this, where he can get hot. He's capable of doing that. He's one of the best point guards in college basketball. But their offensive firepower has been severely limited by Ty Berry being out for the season, and Matthew Nicholson has missed the last couple games of the regular season in the Big Ten tournament due to a foot injury, and his status is still very up in the air. So with as good as Northwestern's offense was for much of this season, they've kind of become a better defensive team, a better rebounding team late, because they've had to play more size. But that certainly has come at the cost of their offense not being nearly as explosive. Now, FAU is not a great defensive team, as you know, either. And they are a team that certainly will give up points. They're not great defensively rebounding the basketball, but they can score. They have Final Four pedigree. You just have to feel like this team can still be capable of putting it together. So I think it would be a really, really good win for Northwestern. I'd probably lean towards FAU, just because of some of those injury woes for the Cats. But it'll be interesting. They're certainly going to guard you. Northwestern's offense can give them at least enough. You have to think maybe then they could pull the upset.
Yep, indeed. All right, let's go to number three ranked Illinois, who are 12-point favorites against Morehead State. Illinois, in terms of their chances to make the Final Four, they're +750. They're the fourth favorite in the East behind UConn, Auburn, and Iowa State. Do you think that this should be pretty much a formality for Illinois?
Just because of the way they're playing, yes. Now, with that being said, I would still like them to guard better. Even though they won the Big Ten tournament, I don't think that they played a full 40 minutes of basketball in any of those games. And even the Nebraska game, Brad Underwood just went off on these guys at half. I did the Ohio State game. He was going off on them in a huddle. They've got to be better on defense. They are an elite offensive unit. They're number three in terms of offensive efficiency nationally in all of college basketball. But the defense has kind of hovered around 100, and that can burn you. So they're going to have to guard better. They guarded really well in the second half against Nebraska and got stops. I think Wisconsin was one for their last seven from the field to finish that Big Ten tournament final. Terrence Shannon is just an incredible specimen at the college level in transition. He dominates the game with his power, his speed. He gets easy baskets. He gets downhill in the half court. He's good in pick and roll. He shoots it well enough from the perimeter. But yeah, I think this is all going to hinge on how well does Illinois guard you. But man, what a run they had in Minneapolis. And I'm sure UConn is thinking the committee didn't do us all that many favors because our region, including Illinois, is really tough.
Yeah, it's a mess. It's almost as though the committee made a stated goal of making it as hard as possible, given that, you know, they're also potentially going to have to go through, you know, Iowa State, who's a rising sleeper as well. Illinois opinions seem very divided on them, seem like a very high ceiling, low floor type of team who could spring.
I would not be surprised if they lost in the first weekend. I wouldn't be surprised if they're playing in the Final Four. Like that, that's their variance here.
Yep, indeed. All right, let's hit Michigan State in the 8-9 against Mississippi State. Michigan State a 1-point favorite, so effectively a coin flip. Do you think they get out of this one?
Yeah, you know, I think coin flip's a good way to describe it. Mississippi State guards, offensively, they're not nearly as good. Michigan State is one of those teams where at times we've maybe felt like, wow, they're really figuring this out. And at times you look at some of their best players and you're like, why are these guys who have played years of college basketball struggling to find this type of consistency? You know, just outside of Tyson Walker, A.J. Hogard has been up and down. Jaden Akins has been up and down. Malik Hall finished the season really strong, but even he had a couple games like at Northwestern where he doesn't score, or at Minnesota where he doesn't score, and you're just baffled by that because he has a lot of ability. They haven't got a ton from their centers, but they have played their young guy, Xavier Booker, much more. He's kind of a skilled big that can pick and pop. He can take you away and shoot the three. Certainly an athlete that runs the floor. But they're going to need something from their centers. And I think the toss-up at the 8-9 game, that's exactly what this is going to be. We'll see if Tom Izzo can kind of use some of that March magic and find a way here.
Yep, indeed. Okay, last one on the Big Ten teams, Robbie. Do you think Ohio State belonged in the tournament? And if you do, which I suspect you might, who would they replace if you're on the selection committee?
You know, I love the way they were playing the year. The problem, like you would say, are they good enough to play in the NCAA tournament right now? Yes. Do they have the resume to get in? Probably not. You know, I think they came up a little bit short from a wins perspective. Even though they had really good wins and didn't have bad losses, that stretch in January just killed them, though. January into February, where they lost 8 or 9 of 10. And you lose that many games and you're looking for wins at the end of the year. I just think they didn't have enough in terms of the sheer number of victories with their resume. But I do think, you know, you look at Bruce Thornton, you look at Roddy Gale, you look at Jameson Battle, and then just their freshmen playing so much better. They are an NCAA tournament team today. They just didn't have the resume to get in. So I guess who I'd replace would be nobody, because you really can't argue with that. They needed to win another game, I think, to get in.
Okay, that's fair enough. Very, very balanced take. Before we let you get out of here, Robbie, can you just tell us what your Final Four is right now?
So I filled a bracket out today. Let me make sure I get this right. I did it on my plane at 5:50, so I might have been delusional as I was filling this out. I have Purdue. I think this is the year to exercise the demons, just like Virginia did back in 2019. I'm going UConn. I am going with Kentucky. And I'm trying to think. What's the fourth region?
The West.
The West.
Arizona.
I went there, Arizona. Sorry about that. I'm going to Arizona, which that's a little bit scary to me because I'm really not going out on limbs, but I do feel like the best teams are just much better. Like, I feel like the gap between UConn, Purdue, I think Arizona's talent is really good. And I just went with Kentucky because I think their offense is so explosive, but it is terrifying to pick them because their defense is a sieve.
Yeah, I was going to say, John, three very chalky picks, and then Kentucky, who are +850 to win the South. They're the fourth favorite behind Houston, Duke, and Marquette. I guess the thing is that if you do want to pick a surprise team, you want a team like Kentucky who feel like they can win or lose to anyone.
But in looking at that bracket, like Marquette, major questions around Tyler Colic. Florida just lost a player due to a broken leg yesterday in the SEC final. NC State has played a million games in 5 days. Texas Tech's been banged up. Duke is kind of a trendy upset pick. Wisconsin's a trendy upset pick. Houston's banged up. Like, that bracket is a free for all. That could be as chaotic as any bracket we've got.
Yep. Well, I think that makes sense. I think Houston have been kind of anointed, but to your point, they were really banged up at the end of the season. They had to have some Jamal Shedd heroics to carry them through a couple of games late. So certainly the health could get them. All right, Kentucky, plus 850 to win the South. Robbie, can you let people know where to follow you on social media and what you'll be working on and where you'll be later this week?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Robbie Hummel or Instagram at Robbie Hummel, and I'll be in Spokane for Turner doing the NCAA tournament on TV. And then I will be in Detroit for West One Sports Radio the second weekend. And Final Four, I'll be doing stuff for Bleacher Report. So busy 3 weeks coming up.
Okay, sounds like it. Thanks very much for your time, mate. Appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Spring training is here, so for those looking to get ahead on the upcoming MLB season, grab your Roto-World Baseball Draft Guide. It's loaded with comprehensive positional rankings, projections, and player profiles to ensure your draft is a success. Visit nbcsports.com/draftguide and use code BASEBALL24 to get 10% off at checkout. All right, let's bring in the fellas, Drew Dinsick, Vaughn Dalzell. We'll talk favorite first round bets, some Cinderella and sleeper teams, and then final four picks at the end. Vaughn, let's start with you. What's your favorite bet in round one?
I'm going to be looking at the Drake Bulldogs, a familiar team from last year, if Drew remembers. We took them against Miami to cover. They did not win, but they got the cover. And this year, they were +1.5 last night against Washington State. Now they are the favorite, slight favorite on the money line. Washington State doesn't shoot free throws well. 70% of the season. They don't force turnovers, ranking outside the 250th rank. They do have size, though. I love my size stats in March Madness. They got four guys at 6'8 or taller, but what does that make them do? That makes them play at a slow tempo, and they can't shoot threes. So playing at 316th tempo, 34% from three, it's not a great mixture when you're trying to avoid an upset against a team like Drake, who plays so much quicker, shoots the ball better all around, and they got that much-needed experience aforementioned against Miami last season in the first round. Much better this year. The offense went from 107th to 38th, and they got one of the best mid-major players in Tucker DeVry. So give me the Drake Bulldogs. I think they went outright in what should be a very close game.
Okay, Drake. I hope Drake's offense rolls better than the Pittsburgh Steelers behind you, Vaughn, going forward.
It's a good offseason so far.
Yeah, no, I like their offseason as well. Drew, what's your favorite bet in round one?
Love the Drake. They owe us money, Vaughn. They should have made a deeper run last year, if we're being honest. They should have had Miami's path. That's it.
You're too early.
you're too early. That's right. I like a couple of 15 seeds to keep things close. First half, I played first half full game for La Playa against Arizona. I think Arizona is wildly untrustworthy. And honestly, like, I'm still living in a world where the difference between the perceived blue bloods and, the teams that are winning, these smaller conferences, it's just not as big a gap as it used to be. And so you're seeing a lot of this anchored in sort of the way things, distributions of the way things were. And I think that this is just going to be a much more competitive, the outliers. Now, the 1-16s, I'm not taking on any 16s to do anything wild, but Long Beach State, I could definitely see challenging the Wildcats. And I also like the 15 seed St. Peter's Peacocks, giving Tennessee a little bit of the business in round one here. Now, I think think ultimately Tennessee comes through and has a very realistic chance to win the Midwest region. But certainly 20 points for both of those 15 seeds is too many. And I like in particular keeping those games close in the first half. So first half full games for those two nasty dogs. And then if you want one that's a little bit more coin flippy, but I feel pretty compelled to kind of make the case, beat the drum for this, Northwestern is better than people realize. This team makes their threes at a very impressive clip. They play at a very slow pace. That is the perfect kind of recipe for, you know, the teams in the middle of the pack to get some wins in this tournament. They're 2.5-point dogs right now to FAU, and I would make them 2.5-point favorites. So I think that's a miss, and I like the Wildcats.
Okay, I like that. FAU cost me a lot of money this year, Drew. their conference, so I'm happy.
Classic every year,
happy owls, to take the Owls down to clip their wings. All right, let's go to some Cinderella and potential sleeper teams, some plus money prices to make the Sweet 16. Vaughn, is there anyone you like?
So one team that I'm taking in round one that I think if Drew is right and we see some insufficient play from Arizona once again as a two seed, and the Dayton Flyers has some potential here to go to the Sweet 16. They got Nevada in round one. I'm taking them to win that game. They're a plus one underdog. They play a slow tempo. They shoot threes very well. And they beat a lot of really good teams this year, the Dayton Flyers. I mean, they lost to Houston on a neutral court by 13, to Northwestern by 5, who Drew just mentioned. But they also beat Cincinnati on the road. They beat St. John's, LSU, SMU, a lot of teams. So this Dayton Flyers team, very veteran experience. I feel like they could make a run to the Sweet 16. Getting Arizona is probably a good matchup for a team that can slow you down. They also have size. And I love the call on Northwestern from Drew. I think that they should also be a favorite. But they run into UConn in the second round. So Northwestern will be going nowhere fast in that spot. But the Dayton Flyers certainly on my card right now. And the Drake Bulldogs as well, who I mentioned. Drew, we're big on Iowa State. We have a Final Four ticket on the Cyclones, right? But last year, boy, did they look terrible in scoring about 40 points against the Pitt Panthers. Hopefully the offense looks better, but a team like Drake could also upset Iowa State. So taking those two first-round winners and also going to sprinkle a little bit on Sweet 16 for them.
Okay. Drew, anyone that you like at price to make a run to the Sweet 16?
I fully agree with Vaughn on Dayton getting there. I think that's a really fun one. And you want a weird one? Give me a little James Madison. James Madison, the 12 seed up against the Wisconsin Badgers in the in round one. And I know, like, this may sound absurdly square because the 12-5 is just at this point gotten to be a joke. But ultimately, Wisconsin is an untrustworthy 5 seed. Duke is an untrustworthy 4 seed. James Madison finding their way into a Sweet 16 matchup against Houston, I think, is very realistic. What is to like about James Madison? Well, let me tell you. They are good at shooting the three, and they are incredibly good at defending the three. They chase guys off their spots. They're a smart team. And in general, like, if you're going up against a streaky shooting team, like, or really just an offensive question mark with the Wisconsin Badgers and a streaky shooting team like Duke, you can absolutely get the better of those two teams and find yourself in Dallas playing the Houston Cougars in the South Regional semifinals. And I would expect James Madison to be kind of the only like truly absurd double digit seed that has, I think, a realistic chance of getting there.
I love that. I'm going to stick in the same region real quick, Drew, because I wanted to get your take on the Florida Gators. I absolutely think that this team could make a run in that region too. You look at, they'll get, you know, the play-in situation there, then potentially Marquette or Western Kentucky in the second round. Marquette, obviously, without Kolek, his status is up in the air right now. So Florida playing as fast as they do, one of the best offenses in the country, ranked 14th. They play at the 18th quickest pace, 7th in offensive rebounding. I mean, you go down the board, the only thing this team doesn't do is force turnovers, which obviously is a big factor in March Madness. But I think the matchups that they drew lets them make a Sweet 16 run, and they could upset Marquette for sure. And then you look at potentially beyond that. I mean, you mentioned James Madison, Wisconsin, the top of the bracket, but they got Kentucky, Oakland, Texas Tech, NC State. These are beatable teams. While Kentucky is one of the most talented teams in the country, that's a team that plays the exact same style of basketball as the Florida Gators. And that's definitely a positive for the Gators. So I think Florida as a 7 seed has a lot of potential to make a deep run as well.
Yeah. Okay. My bracket has that Elite Eight matchup, same as Yvonne, Kentucky, Florida. I think Boise comes. I like Boise over Colorado, by the way, in the play-in as just a little extra sprinkle there. And then I think Florida matches up well against Boise. I think they match up phenomenally well against Marquette. You mentioned it. Marquette's sort of the weakest two seed, I think, across all four regions. And that does open up. You know, really, it just opens up the door for our Houston Cougars. This is our time.
Okay. Well, Florida's 15-1 to win the South, basically three times Marquette's price, almost, but plus 550. Before we get out of here, let's make some final four picks relative to price. Vaughn, who would be your four picks in each of the regions?
Well, hate to say it, Drew, but we were right on Bet the Edge. Well, I should say you were right when you said UConn will get the toughest region out of anybody. Absolutely hate that the committee doesn't want them to go back-to-back here with Illinois, Iowa State, and Auburn all in their region. So I went with Illinois, a three seed, come out of there. I love UConn. I think they're deep, but I think Illinois is a team that I've had on all year. Being a Final Four sweeper, I said they'd win the Big Ten. They did that, so I will take the price on Illinois. I like North Carolina. Getting their first two games in Charlotte is huge for this team. And when you look at the rest of the teams in the region, we're talking about Arizona, Dayton, Baylor, St. Mary's, Alabama. These are all teams that Tar Heels have more talent than, can slow down and play better defense than. And I hate to say the next team because I'm buying in. The Purdue Boilermakers. Oh, my gosh. They have a great road. You're telling me you're going to get a Gonzaga team potentially, a banged-up Kansas team with no depth, maybe Creighton or Tennessee down in the Final Four, Elite Eight. I mean, Purdue is set up to finally make that run in Zach Edey's senior season, the final year with them. So I love the price on them. And finally, we've been saying it all year, the Houston Cougars, the defense, the turnovers, the tempo, they're going to be a problem to whoever they play. I don't see Wisconsin or Duke being much of a problem with them. So if we get Florida or Marquette later on, I would love that matchup for the Cougars. I think they might have the easiest road outside of Purdue.
Okay. Drew, what do you got?
Well, I don't strongly disagree with any of your macro opinions there. East region looks by far the toughest. I think UConn probably limps their way through there, but I'm not betting it at price.
They can.
So I think they probably emerge, but they will be battered and beaten, and they will have to take on what is the most winner of the most chaotic region, in my opinion, which is the West. I like a price in the West. I like St. Mary's. St. Mary's, one of the elite offensive rebounding teams, as we covered on Bet the Edge last week. That gives you extra possessions. That gives you exactly what you need to pull off an upset against the likes of North Carolina. They're matched up against Alabama to get to the Sweet 16. Alabama is just wildly untrustworthy. Defense optional team. St. Mary's can very, very well find themselves in the Elite Eight. And at that point, if the Dayton Flyers have done what we think they could do, St. Mary's might actually have a pretty soft spot to get punch their ticket to the Final Four. So I'm going to take a shot on St. Mary's to make their way there. In the South, don't overthink it. This is Houston Cougars time. I think they gave them a very, very soft path with the potentially the weakest two seed in Marquette and question marks all across the 4, 5, 3. Everyone else has flaws in that region. And then I agree with you that Purdue was given an opportunity here in the Midwest to finally make a Final Four run. But I think Tennessee is standing in their way. This Tennessee team is for real. And I think ultimately that is probably where things end for Purdue. Their inability to create the defensive turnovers is probably where that will ultimately rear its ugly head. And I think Tennessee gets in from the Midwest. So at price, my favorite thing to look for is a pretty long price on St. Mary's. And then otherwise, I think it's going to be somewhat chalky with the exception of Tennessee coming through in the Midwest.
Okay.
I love the fact that we got Purdue as a one seed and Tennessee as a two seed. Rick Barnes, 37-37 in the NCAA tournament. And Purdue still got that stench of last year. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be a great bracket.
Okay, I think we're going to have a bet on Iowa State to make the Final Four plus 400. A lot of the advanced stats love them. They also gave me the fright of my life in the Big 12, almost beating Houston twice. What do you guys think of Iowa State's scope?
Well, if apparently Jay does not listen to the show when he's not on the show, because we got 8-1 in pocket, and we were making the case a couple weeks ago. And honestly, when we got 8-1, we were basically like, two-thirds chance we're not going to get paired up against UConn. Well, we did. So we're going to have to do it ourselves. But I know Vaughn's high on Illinois. I could not be cooler on Illinois personally. I think they are upset alert in general. And I think Iowa State's going to have a pretty clean walk to an Elite Eight matchup against UConn. Whether or not they can beat UConn, they just need to show up that day and have their best game of the season. I think it's doable. I'm not afraid of UConn, but they're not keeping me up at night. But you're going to need a strong performance from Iowa State in that game. And I think the market's probably going to give you 4.5-5 points in that game. So if you're kind of, you know, sketching out your price, does it make sense to do this? I think you're going to get a pretty decent opportunity in terms of taking points with the Cyclones in that Elite Eight matchup if UConn is there.
Okay.
And I'll say it's an absolute joke that Iowa State got the last 2 seed. Winning their conference, the toughest conference in all of basketball, they should have had a 2 seed over Marquette in Arizona, in my opinion. So
yeah, this is
no help with the draw.
This is the committee doing. This is the committee trying to challenge UConn more than it is punishing Iowa State.
Yeah. Well, buy back 8-1 when you can back 4-1 a week later with the worst draw. is what I always say. All right, we are done. Don't forget to check out NBCSports.com for more information to help you with your wages. Thanks to those watching on the NBC Sports YouTube channel. If you're listening to us in podcast form, don't forget to rate and subscribe. And also a reminder to find all your favorite NBC Sports shows on Amazon Music. Just head to amazon.com/NBCSports. We'll see you soon.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.